The reading this evening is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, beginning at the first verse. If you want to follow this in the Bibles, in the pews, it's on page 13. Genesis chapter 12, beginning at the first verse. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued towards the Negev. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Lovely to see you here this evening. Our love and prayers with you and your family. Trust you know you're amongst Christian friends and your Christian family here in Tunbridge, and prayers very much with you. Rosemary, lovely to see you here. Give our warmest and greetings to David, won't you please? And all the great and the good are here this evening. Peter Walker, yeah, good to have you back. Very good to see you. And I know of at least four or five hospitality events on even today. And thank you for those who have indicated and opened up your homes and have told me stories of happiness and joy. I think even it carries on. We're hosting an event at the Vicarage next Sunday in March. Mentioning that, while I see a good number of you here, a personal friend of mine, Andrew Wooding Jones, is here as our preacher next Sunday evening. Do me the favour and give him a good crowd, if you will. He is the current Archdeacon of Rochester. He is a good news thing in the diocese, and some of our young people are taking part in the service. Details for that evening service are on your blue notice sheets, but if I may, I'll draw it to your attention now. And because I try and keep an eye on folks, it's lovely to have some visitors here this evening. Please don't feel embarrassed, as regular members now offer you a Christian greeting in the form of the peace, which we will now share. Do please stand. May you know the Lord's welcome and love and peace at this time. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Go mingle. We open again these pages of Holy Scripture. We pray that in your goodness and mercy, you would open the doors of our hearts to your love, that they might be blessed even this evening. As we do so, we pray for our lives, for your blessing upon them, and for those with whom we will have to do. Thank you for this place and this time, and for everyone in this building. May we be blessed through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm sure the traditional structure of a story is what it should be. It starts, there's a middle, and an ending. And to set the context, if I may, for our reflections on Abraham, the God of Abraham, prays something about the start, then something about the middle, and then something about the ending. You can be intrigued, and I won't keep you waiting too long, as to where we part where our part is in the life of this story. So, first of all, at the beginning, and it's probably a very important point to start and to make, but we will get on to middle and to the ending. There in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 28, it simply says, "And God blessed them." In what's an often misquoted verse, it goes on to say how God is to bless humankind, to be fruitful, to increase, and to steward. That's the difficult verse or translation, can be overworked, to domineer or take control of. You can see how it can be misinterpreted. But can we hold for a moment at the start of this story? God bless them. It's often been said, and I know I've said it from the pulpit before, that the most important thing about you is what you think about when God is mentioned. There, right at the start, God wants to bless. God wants to be good. God wants to be kind. God does want to bless. How is all that going to happen? Post Genesis 3 in the fall, now we come to the middle part of the story. We see how God's blessing is to come. And I hope you might even be intrigued. Well, my life doesn't feel particularly blessed at the moment. The most important thing about you is what you think about when God is mentioned. But there he is, he's right at the start of the story, and in his nature, there is no other game plan for God other than to bless his people. Of course, it does go badly wrong in Genesis 3, and we are wholly and solely, individually responsible for that. Our name might not be Adam, or it might not be Eve, but it's a generic term to describe God's dear, loved, beloved creation that he wants so to be blessed. We shrug our shoulders, we cross our arms, we stamp our feet, we tut-tut here and there, and we say in the words that were spoken to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, "We will not have this person rule over us." We don't want that. We choose to go the way of fallenness, depravity and despair, despondency and disillusionment, and we are banished from the garden, lonely and without God, no longer, it seems, blessed. We come now, I won't leave you there too long, to the middle of the story, how this blessing is going to happen. And it comes through this dear man who we read about in Genesis 12 this evening, Abraham. There are seven ways in which God says, "I will bless you." A kind of perfect number with a beautiful holy symmetry about it. And it's very important to realize that God, who promises something to bless his people, will not be thwarted by any power of hell or plan of man, no matter how stubborn or diabolical. God will bless his people. And so we come to the very exciting middle part of the story. And through this man, Abraham, God starts to make right his plan to bless us. I do hope you're still intrigued. The most important thing about you is what you think about when God is mentioned and how you can be blessed. Maybe you are conscious of shutting your ears, closing your eyes, folding your proverbial arms, or hardening your heart, or thinking that God couldn't possibly have anything good for you. Hang in there. Look what he's going to do in sevenfold ways. And I literally repeat them from Holy Scriptures there in Genesis 12. "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing through me. I will bless those who you bless. And furthermore, if anyone curses you, well, I will curse them. In fact, Abraham, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And so the start of the middle of the story progresses from there. Notice how often God is the subject of all these things. I will do this. I will do this. I will make you. I will look after you. I will cause you to be a blessing. He is the subject. He's the person in the story. When a new vicar enters town, it's unsurprising that many church people greet the new vicar by name and then oftentimes in appropriate, civilized, courteous conversation comes out what they do for the church or what they do for God. It's a fascinating piece of psychology that I have grown to love and live with. And of course, it is very important what you do for God and what you do for the church. Hey, thank you. But the main point is not what you do for God. The main point, in order to be blessed, is that what he does for you. I will bless you. I will do this in you and through you. I recognize with appropriate English reserve and shyness and modesty, it can be difficult to articulate the straightforward answer to this simple but profound question. What now is God doing in your life? How is he at work? If the middle of the story that expands for how God will bless people starts with what God is going to do in you, then this surely is a deeply important question to answer. This is for another day, but I sometimes find that the longer the list of what people do in the church goes, the shorter and harder it is for them to articulate what God is doing in their life. Somehow, it can all get too crowded out. May that not be the case. We're shutting our hearts, we're closing our arms to receive God's blessing, what he wants to do. God's plan to bless us, despite our fallenness and our stubborn independence, he wants to bless us through Abraham. And then to the end of the story, Peter is speaking to the Jews on the day of Pentecost or shortly after. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. And he pointed the Jews to Jesus. And then in Galatians to the Gentiles, this encapsulates the whole of the human race, all of those who stubbornly fell. Galatians 3 verse 8, if you're interested, the scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. The God of Abraham prays. Where are you in the story? I hope you recognize in the deepest part of your life that God wants to bless you. And that inescapably, despite your humanity, only through the focus of Abraham and his pointing to Jesus will be the means by which you will receive this deep spiritual blessing, which is your right as a child of God. So, reasons to praise. God has blessed us. Realism and praise. Surely it isn't the case that everything in life can be turned around to praise. I've said oftentimes before, whilst I sing many a good hymn, one hymn I simply can't sing is "And in his presence all our problems disappear. That self-evidently is just not the case. The perspective on our problems might disappear in his presence, but there are reasons to praise God because of what he has done in Jesus. There surely is a realism in praise that not everything that happens in life is worthy of praise. But there should, it seems to me, be a rhythm in praise that each day we find something to praise God for how he is at work in our lives. The vicar's sermon was happily put to bed a few days ago. And then is my happy lot. I was trawling the charity shops yesterday for records. We all have our failings. Please don't give me your old record collections. That will seriously cause domestic disharmony. There are already too many on my creaking shelves. I sadly once calculated if all the CDs and records that I own, if I could actually potentially listen to them all, I'd be well dead about 50 years before I got through them all. We've all got our problems. But this one struck me. Now, if you come across a Decca pressing, don't bin it, because it could be worth hundreds of quid. And the cheaper ones are the Argo label. Okay, all the fancy Decca pressings have gone to the Far East, but this is the cheaper label, and it's a really good quality piece of sound. But notice how they've described the Psalms. This was done in the 70s, 40, 50 years ago. Psalms of consolation and of hope. I don't even think I've added them all up. So how many ones of consolation have you got? Or how many ones of hope have you got? If you read through all 150 psalms, I wonder how many are consolations. Oh, it's hard. Oh, it's tough. And I wonder how many you could tabulate are good ones of hope. All of the singing here is pretty posh, high-quality stuff. This is the choir of St. John's College, Cambridge. If you're into the music, it's George Guest. The point is simply this. Life is not a matter of balance. The good times outweigh the bad. Life is a matter, as the story started, being blessed by God and finding that blessing in Jesus Christ. Even the Psalms, if you tabulate them, would have more on the upside than on the downside. Is the cup of life half full or half empty? Perhaps it's even the wrong question to ask. Life is about being blessed by Jesus Christ. Is he at work in your life? Can you give testimony and praise to what he wants to do and has done? I will bless you. I will bless you in Jesus. I will make your days full of praise. A moment's quiet before I lead you in a prayer. Father, thank you that we can be more than conquerors through him who loved us. For all reasons that might cause us not to be blessed, we pray that in the name of Christ they would be dispelled. We pray for your blessing on lives here that are lonely and sad. We pray for your blessing and protection where there was sickness or anxiety. And we pray that where are our gifts of health and strength, we might experience a life that's truly blessed as it's focused on our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.